Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, a show with a difference today because given that there's been no play at Old Trafford, it's been damp, I thought I'd bring you some cricket from a beautiful setting, Bushy Park in southwest London, where in fact I can see three games of cricket going on all at the same time. There's Teddington against Hampstead in the Middlesex League, Teddington fielding Nick Gubbins and Sam Robson from Middlesex in their side, and they're in blue and they've just racked up 337. And now Hampstead are trying to chase that. And then on the second ground, we've got Teddington 2nd-11 playing a game. And then over the fence, there's Teddington Town also playing a match as well. So I can actually see three games of cricket, almost three balls simultaneously. Let's see who's going to bowl first. I think it's the bowler at the far end there. He's got a really long run. He's got to go and actually on Teddington Town, he's actually got to go and move the sight screen himself because he's going round the wicket. And he comes running in now from a very, very distant spot. Sort of rather ungainly run, but got some momentum to it, actually, as he runs in and bowls now. And that's down the leg side. And it's taken by the keeper on the second bounce. So maybe his run-up a little bit longer than his pace finished up being. There's a nice clip through the leg side there on the nearer pitch. Telling the second 11, just flicking it to leg and actually nicely fielded. And here's another ball from Teddington Town, whipped into the leg side by a fairly burly-looking batsman, slightly reminiscent of Inzamam Ul Haq. He doesn't run, as Inzamam never used to. And here on the main pitch at Teddington, beautiful backdrop, long grass in the distance, trees, a few deer basking in the sun, and lots of amazing wildlife, actually, in this park. We've been following the life of six little cygnets who were born about a month ago, sort of really grown up. There's a quick ball here from a Teddington opening bowler, fended into the offside by the Hampstead batsmen, who are currently 2 for 2, chasing 337. So it's a bit of a one-sided game, this one. Lots of cyclists running past. And, of course, that's another thing which is different. There's a crowd here, which, of course, you're not used to if you've been following the Test match. There are actually probably about 150 people or so watching the various games of cricket on show today here in Bushy Park. Lots of picnickers and people wandering past. It really actually is the most beautiful setting. And in fact, Bushy Park has six cricket grounds in it. They'll all be very, very active today. This actually is the ground where I played my first ever Middlesex 2nd-11 game back in, I think, 1979. And I was shocked, actually, to find that in my first over, I took a wicket with about my third ball. A Surrey number four batsman, Surrey 2nd-11 number four, who'd actually played a fair bit of cricket in the first team, was quite a well-known player, actually. And I thought, God, that was an easy wicket. And then within about 40 minutes of being on the boundary, there's another wicket to Teddington. bowled through the gate, the Hampstead left-hander, so they're now 2 for 3. This could be a short game. Anyway, I was fielding on the boundary about 12 o'clock in this second 11 match, and suddenly I heard these sort of sounds, rather sort of suspicious sounds in the long grass, and the batsman I dismissed was, well, sort of cavorting with his girlfriend in the long grass. So it made me realise quickly that I hadn't really deserved that wicket, because clearly he wasn't that intent on staying at the crease for long that day. It also made me realise that it's not quite as professional, this game, at that stage, anyway, 1979, as I thought it was. It has, of course, been a really difficult time for club cricketers, and particularly for club chairmen and people running amateur clubs. So I thought it would be interesting just to chat to the two men who have been running Teddington for quite a while now. That's William Frewin, the chairman for 17 years, and the guy who's succeeded him, Phil Eastland.
My name is William Frewin. I was chairman of Teddington for 17 years. I played cricket as a kid for Berkshire and a little bit for Oxford University second team. Lost my action completely and decided to be better off to be this side of the boundary for everybody's sake. So I sort of did a bit of stuff for Teddington. I ran their second team and then eventually became chairman after a guy called Michael Welch, who did it for 26 years. So if you get this, you get it for a long time, by the way, Phil. I'm afraid you can't get rid of it quickly. And I suppose, you know, as you can see, we're in a lovely park. We've got the best facilities around the place. The major challenges, what are the major challenges? I suppose recruitment is really the big one. You know, Teddington is not an obvious place to come unless you know about it.
You mean for players?
For players, yeah. I mean, to get people to come here.
Because we're in the middle of Bushey Park, which is obviously not a sort of a highly populated area for a start.
Exactly. And you've got Richmond and Twickenham, where they're sort of much easier to get to. How do you persuade people to come? So you've got the key things to get people down here. Then they see this lovely place and they say they want to stay. So that's sort of the major thing, is getting people down here. And we've always were the only ever present in the Middlesex Premier League, and then we decided that was absolutely key, because it was slightly out of the way. If we didn't keep at the top level, it could slide quite quickly, so that was a really important thing. And then financially, obviously, to make it financially viable, and we brought in a school which use it during the winter, and then we brought in a football club which use it also during the winter. The school uses it all year round, sorry, and the football club uses it in the winter, and so that set the basics for the club. So my view is, I'm a banker by trade, so if you don't get the finances right, you can't get anything right. And then it became clear that if we wanted to expand, we've got 400 juniors here, that we needed a new clubhouse. We used to have a lovely little shed, I think is the best way of describing it, two little mizzen huts put together. And we've been discussing for 3 or 4 years, even longer than that, 4 or 5 years, what are we going to do? And 2 or 3 years ago, we said, right, this is happening. We're going to build a new pavilion. So that's been the sort of centre. And my view was, if I can organise the finance for that, and once it's built, I think job done for me.
And I mean, how did you actually organise the finances? Because I was going to talk to you about, you know, finances of club cricket. How do you manage to stay above you know, total bankruptcy?
Well, we've got 400 juniors. That helps. We've got about 70 playing members, 80 playing members on a regular one, and a lot of old members. So the actual income isn't too bad. The bar income, obviously, with the new pavilion is going to be fantastic. And the school paid a rent, and the football club pay a rent. So that actually, we just about, in the last 10 years, break even, or made a tiny, tiny profit, just all the time. And then for the big pavilion, we've been lucky we got a... Because we run a football club, we got a big grant from the Football Foundation. ECB gave us a little bit. We signed up a new school who paid us quite a lot up front for a long lease, rather than just we're there for 20 years. As long as we're here, they're here for 20 years, so that nice upfront payment. And then we got one or two big benefactors, which was great. And then everybody chipped in. So we're sort of... It's pretty well paid for. I mean, there's a small debt, but it's nothing in the big scheme of things. So financially, we've now got a huge asset which we can... The bar will make it a lot more money than ever made before. We'll be able to do events if we want. It's up to us how much we use it, basically. The Royal Parks limit a little bit to what we can do. But financially, we should be now very solid. It'd be a shame. I can't quite see what would go wrong at the moment to get us into trouble unless we just misbehave so badly we get kicked out or something like that.
Well, I mean, COVID certainly put a bit of a mocker on... the general kind of activities of the club. Phil, you've taken over as chairman this year, which is a bit of a short straw in a way. Has it been incredibly frustrating?
Well, I don't think it would be a short straw. I mean, this is a fantastic club, you know, and it's been extremely well run by William for 17 years and set us up in a great position, you know, with a great pitch, great pavilion, great junior setup, great set of adult players. So I think it wasn't a short straw to take up the chair role. It's a great honour. But obviously COVID kicked in and that did give us some serious issues. I mean, well, issues.
Such as what? I mean, for instance, you know, well, William mentioned the new pavilion here, which yeah. I suppose you've been gagging to open.
Yes.
It's been covered in fencing for about three months.
So we've had to surround it with fences. We've had to lock it down. So I think there's a real sense of frustration there. But obviously we knew it was here and it was going to be ready and COVID was eventually going to go away and we would end up eventually having great days like we're having today. And we had last week when we actually played our first game of cricket last week. We had a big club day, firsts and seconds mixed up the top here and the thirds and fourths mixed up down the bottom on the second strip. And lots of people came and friends and family. And it was a good day, you know, a great day for the club. Actually, ultimately, in hindsight, possibly even a great opening, although we didn't really realise it at the time, you know, but it just made it, that did. But the frustrations went away when we played that first game of cricket, is what I would say.
Yes, I suppose it's a bit like getting out for naught, and you feel incredibly upset, but then as soon as you hit the next one in the middle, you've forgotten.
I think the sun's shining and we're all here, and but that's all a little bit forgotten. But yeah, I think frustration at not playing cricket, frustration at not being able to use the facilities. The members were tremendous. I mean, you know, we asked them for membership subscriptions and a lot contributed.
You even suckered me into joining somehow.
So
just tell me about Bushy Park, actually, because it's a bit of a cricketing mecca, isn't it? There are four clubs here in the park.
And five, actually.
I think there are six actual pitches, aren't there? Because you've got two. There's one over there,
the NPL,
which is Teddington Town.
Yes.
Then there's Hampton Hill over in the distance. And at the back here...
NPL play as well. And Hampton Wick are in there. So there's lots of cricket playing around here.
Really.
Yeah.
And yet you have managed to get you've already 400 colts, and you're thinking you might even get 500 colts.
Yes, I would hope so, yes. And I think cricket's a great game for children at the end of the day. You know, it's played in the sunshine. It's friendly, you know, particularly when you've got good coaches who can organise things well. The children can play with hard balls, soft balls, whatever level, tennis balls they start with. And we've got a lot of space, so that's our natural advantage in terms of numbers. But I think, you know, we've built our junior setup now since, I can't remember exactly when it all started, but, you know, it started with a few dads bringing their sons down, who are now bringing their children down to play cricket here. And it's grown steadily. Year by year, and as fixtures start to come in and all that kind of stuff, that's good. And we're filling in the gaps that are left by the fact that the schools don't play much cricket anymore, or almost nothing. So we've got a market, a push, and we can provide that. And
there's a lot of volunteers you rely on, though, as well.
There is a huge number of volunteers. I think there's something like... I think there's something like 200 members of the club who have some form of volunteering role, because that's the number.
You're not going to ask me to do something.
Whether it be a scorer, an umpire, a captain, an age group manager, a coach, a helper behind the bar, or whatever it is. Right, there's an enormous number of people who give a little bit of time to keep it all going, and without that, club cricket would be. That is club cricket, isn't it? That is club cricket.
Listen, I know about it because my dad was a coach at Ealing for like 40 years or something. And, you know, he was up and down the club virtually every night. Yeah. And my mother, who is still alive, my father died a couple of years ago, my mother still has all his sort of score sheets and address books and, plans for Colts evenings. And, it's amazing, actually, the commitment these sort of people put in. So, William, what is the secret to running a successful club like this, would you say? And you've had lots of experience of it.
Well, you've got to have a plan what you're trying to do. I think that's the first one. We decided we want to stay and remain a top Premier League club. That's plan one, and we want to run a big junior section. And okay, and then how do you do it? And then you just, the basic answer is surround yourself by good people. Can you work out who can do what? You try and give them the right jobs. We've just got a new coach here, in fact.
You're talking Abby, are you?
Yeah, Abby
Jujunwalia, yeah. who's actually a former IPL
Absolutely.
Cricketer. He's got immense pedigree. And he's a director of cricket now, isn't
director
he?
He was at Richmond, and there was Adam London was doing it there. And he said, came to us and said, can I do it here? And we met him, and we had quite strong chats, I think it's fair to say. And it's like, right, this is a guy. So, it's getting yourself around the right people and sort of setting an agenda. And the main thing is to make sure that everybody feels they can say what they want to do, their view, listen, and then you make some decisions. And it's worked from that point of view very, very well.
What about you? I mean, you as a chairman, are there sleepless nights, worrying about the club's, anything. I mean, the flags that are going around the boundary, or the bar that someone's looking after the bar, or that you've got enough money to run the Colts Festival, or I don't know. I mean,
our big thing was very close to getting relegated a couple of times, and I think that would have been very difficult for us at that stage. So it's about as close as I got to sleepless nights. But
so it's really about, I suppose, getting lots of interest, and I guess what are the plans for the future? Because I feel that looking at the way COVID has impacted on the game of cricket, that actually clubs could become real, even more than they are now, centres of the community.
One would hope so, yes. So, absolutely. I mean, with our new pavilion, I mean, we really do want it to be the centre of community. So we've done quite a lot in, we are part of the community. We want to be more in the community than as much as we can be.
Have you got plans to use this space we've got behind here? So it's got a lovely terrace.
We want to remain a cricket club.
Yes.
I think that's very important.
Right.
You never go away from the fact that we want to be a cricket club. This has been built with the members' money, and obviously donations, grants, and other things. But we don't want to lose our roots of becoming a cricket club. So we don't want to become a wedding venue or so we remain a cricket club. Try and always provide the best facilities that we can for every level of cricket, from the team guys who are playing out there today, who are basically almost first class or a little bit below, very, very good club cricketers, right down to our fourth team players who are playing here who maybe aren't quite as good, and all the juniors as well. One of the things when we built this pavilion, one of the things that we really looked at was making sure we've got enough facilities to be able to play multiple games at the same time, and also play girls cricket as well and ladies cricket. So we built four change rooms. We never had that before, so we can divide them all off so we can play girls cricket. We've had lots of young, at our lowest level, they start at five, and then we get lots of boys and girls joining at five and six and seven. And then historically, we've had a relationship with Bushy Park Girls, which is a collaboration between all the clubs in the park to bring their girls at sort of age 10, 11 together into a common team. But girls cricket is now getting so popular, and so our next big step, I think, is to get our own big girls section going, and then eventually get into playing ladies cricket. I think that will be a very good thing for us to do in terms of growing numbers, participation numbers, just growing the diversity within the community, and just making us a good place to come and play cricket.
The great and the good of Middlesex have been down here over the last few days, and yeah, they're beginning to mumble and say, well, it'd be quite nice to play T20 or even a four-day game here.
Yeah.
We've probably got some work to do on our outfield, which is the next thing to do. It's just a bit rough, and that's the next capital project. Yeah. If we got that to the right level, I don't see why we wouldn't be good enough shape to do that. That would be quite exciting to have some professional cricket here. Not often, but just a few. And then that would get more people here. Everybody then hear about it.
I can sort of see it as a sort of lovely festival ground, actually, with marquees and everything around. And certainly you aren't short of space. And you might have the odd deer roaming across onto the outfield, but, adds a bit of interest.
Different. Yeah. Actually, that was probably the biggest thing of what made you sleepless nights. Now you go back to that, is deer getting caught in a net. That is the no-no. The Royal Parks don't mind basically what we do, but if a deer gets caught in the nets, we are in deep, deep, deep trouble. But
Well, it's a fascinating and unusual challenge, actually, for a cricket club president. Anyway, guys, thanks for your time and good luck with the rest of the season. It's a baking hot day here at Teddington, and the ladies score, well, Hampstead are struggling, really, 132 for 5, chasing that colossal 337. It is the most divine day to play cricket. I'm very envious, actually, of all the people taking part in this game, which is an incredibly high standard, with the likes of Nick Gubbins and Sam Robson and Abby Jujunwalla on the outfield as well. So it's been good watching, and it's just been a pleasure, actually, for all the people around here today to be able to enjoy a day of cricket and actually be able to get close to the boundary rather than be shut out and have to watch it on TV. Hopefully this kind of weather will be up north tomorrow and we can rejoin you and look back on the fourth day's play from Old Trafford. In the meantime, from Teddington, it's goodbye.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.